Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And one of the things that makes this such a great nation was a great, big, huge surprise that emerged out of Philadelphia in the very hot, sweltering, humid summer of 1787. What big surprise? Generally, human experience teaches that when a committee tries to invent something, it very rarely turns into a masterpiece. But there's a committee of people. They're all people with substantial egos. They are successful, some of them very successful, some of them world famous. Some of them brilliant, some of them not so brilliant. There are 55 people who were called together at one point or another to participate in a constitutional convention to invent an entirely new scheme of government for a new nation, the United States of America. 11 years after declaring independence, all of a sudden the Articles of Confederation that had bound the nation together up till that point weren't working anymore. So they came together to change everything. And the result, out of lots of conflict and lots of compromise, was a masterpiece. That is what constituted the miracle of the Constitution. This very special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, we cover the miracle of the Constitution, following as best we can the debates, the conflicts, the close calls, the amazing providential protection that appears to have led to a charter of government that has worked remarkably well for the United States of America. We had 12 of the states all participating, all debating in a very spirited way some very fundamental changes. One of the changes that was most important that the delegates all knew they had to make was to create a federal executive. What was amazing about the Articles of Confederation is there was no executive. People were allergic to the idea of a king. That hadn't worked out so well, they thought, in terms of what was going on back in Britain. So they tried during the Articles of Confederation basically just to have Congress leading the whole way. One House of Congress, the Confederation Congress. Well, now they had to set up an executive. But there were some people who were very afraid that if you had one executive, it would be too much power in the hands of one individual. So they talked about having two, or some people even three, presidents, with the idea that if those presidents were fighting against each other, it would curb their power, it would avoid having some kind of overwhelming power concentrated in the hands of one individual. The folks who argued for one president and only one pointed to the guy sitting in the front of the room. He was on a little raised platform behind a little desk. He said almost nothing during most of the meetings of the Constitutional Convention. His name was Washington. He was from Mount Vernon, Virginia. And he was the most admired man by far, along with Dr. Franklin, who was also there. He was the most admired man by far in the 13 states and the 12 states represented there at the convention. The point being that folks trusted George Washington. They knew that he was going to be the first president. And so they agreed when they voted, okay, we're going to have only one president. Another hot issue that divided the delegates, aside from the issues of slavery, which we've talked about a little bit, another hot issue was whether or not people would get paid for serving in Congress. A number of individuals felt, wait a minute, we shouldn't be paying people. Otherwise, what will happen is Congress will vote increases in its own salary. They'll vote more and more and more. And people will want to come to Congress in order to get rich. But the other side argued that, wait, if we pay nothing to people, then that will limit service in Congress to people who are independently wealthy already. And it will mean that honest working people will have no chance if they have to pay their own expenses to travel great distances, and travel was difficult at that time. So they voted, after a spirited debate, yes, they were going to be able to pay members of Congress. There was one issue that they simply couldn't resolve, and that was the most important issue over which the Constitutional Convention nearly broke up on several occasions. Very, very heated debate. The issue was, how is Congress going to be arranged? The Confederation Congress had only one vote per state, so that the smallest state, Georgia, had the same number of votes as the largest state, Virginia. Each one got only one. And you needed nine votes to get anything done. As a result, almost nothing got done. The big states, led by Virginia with the Virginia Plan, wanted to replace that idea of one vote per state with proportional representation, having each state wield as much power as its percentage of the population. In other words, if a state was twice as big, it would have twice as many members of Congress. Seemed to make sense to them. The small states said, no, that will allow the three big states, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, to absolutely dominate, and it will take away our sovereignty and our right to function. This was a huge issue. And it remained an issue after they had decided we're going to have two different houses of Congress, not one. And then they voted that the lower house, the most representative house, the House of Representatives, that would be apportioned the way Virginia wanted, according to population. But the small states absolutely resisted the idea that the upper house of the legislature, which later came to be called the Senate, would also be apportioned by population. They insisted there should be one senator or just two senators for every individual state. This was going to be necessary. And the arguments raged back and forth, and there were strong points obviously made on both sides. James Wilson of Pennsylvania, who, by the way, dominated the debates at the Constitutional Convention, he is one of our crucial founding fathers. He also helped writing the Declaration of Independence. He is almost not remembered today, but he was brilliant. He spoke on the floor of the convention during the summer of 1787 168 times, more than Madison, more than Franklin, more than Hamilton, more than anyone else. And one of the things he said regarding this, he said, why should a national government be unpopular? Has it less dignity? Will each citizen enjoy under it less liberty or protection? Will a citizen of Delaware be degraded by becoming a citizen of the United States? He resisted the idea that what Congress should be was basically just a federation of states. Congress and the federal government, according to James Wilson's view, should be a superior government with the ability to overrule the states, even in determinations that the states made in the legislative level locally. But this was not at all approved by delegates from, well, for instance, New Jersey. The leader for the what was called the New Jersey Plan, which was a plan of having apportionment one vote per state, was a delegate named Patterson. And William Patterson was an appropriate guy to be an advocate for small states because he was a small guy. He was barely 5'2". And Patterson basically argued that they had not been sent there to abolish state sovereignty. He said, we are met here as the deputies of 13 independent sovereign states for federal purposes. Can we consolidate their sovereignty and form one nation and annihilate the sovereignties of our states who have sent us here for other purposes? The people of America are sharp-sighted, said William Patterson. And not to be deceived, the idea of a national government as contradistinguished from a federal one never entered into the mind of any of them. To which Caledonia James, that was the nickname they gave James Wilson because of his thick Scottish burr, he said, can we forget for whom we are forming a government? Is it for men or for the imaginary beings called states? Are not the citizens of Pennsylvania equal to those of New Jersey? Does it require 150 of the former to balance 50 of the latter? He said, if the small states will not confederate on this plan, Pennsylvania, and I presume some other states, will not confederate on any other. They were willing to break apart the Union over this issue. How is it resolved? And how did more of a spirit of compromise and cooperation take hold at the convention? Well, it involved, in part, a number of factors. One of them, the 4th of July. The other, a religious plea from a very old man. And the other, the weather. We'll tell you all about that with the continued story of the miracle of the Constitution. He's called capitalism the greatest thing humanity ever accomplished, and he warns that socialism is trickle-up poverty. He's internationally acclaimed Whole Foods CEO and free market champion, John Mackey, the keynote speaker at this year's Washington Policy Center annual dinner in Bellevue with the Hyatt Regency. Yup, in person in Bellevue with the Hyatt Regency on October 1st. Tickets and information, WPCdinner.com. That's WPCdinner.com. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbvie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
You're listening to a best of the Michael Medved Show as Michael is out today observing the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur.
You're listening to a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, the story of the miracle of the Constitution, which is an account of how it is that a bunch of squabbling, sometimes bitterly bickering delegates came together in Philadelphia in a steamy, humid, difficult summer of 1787, where they were bothered enormously by bugs. Apparently, Philadelphia at the time had large and horrible mosquitoes, and the only way to keep them out, because they hadn't really invented screens at the time, was basically to keep the windows closed. And they kept the windows at Independence Hall, what was called then the State House in Philadelphia. They kept the windows closed and the drapes and the shutters. Why? Because the proceedings of the convention were secret. They didn't want the press, any of the 12 newspapers that were functioning in Philadelphia at the time, to find out what they were debating about. They certainly didn't want people to know how close they were to breaking apart the entire convention. William Paterson of New Jersey, putting forward the New Jersey plan, which was basically we apportion Congress. Basically, all of it should be apportioned. One vote per state. No state having an advantage by population. James Wilson of Pennsylvania and James Madison of Virginia and Edmund Randolph of Virginia all fighting for the Virginia plan, which was the apportionment should be by population. So what do you do? The obvious step was, since you have two houses of Congress, was what was called the Connecticut Plan. Old Roger Sherman, who next to Benjamin Franklin was the oldest member of the convention, he had written, helped to write, the Articles of Confederation. He had been there for the Declaration of Independence. Now he was there for the Constitution. He basically, even though he represented a small state, said, look, we've got to get together on this. We've got two houses of Congress. Let's split the difference. You do one house with a one vote per state or two votes per state, the same number of votes per state, and you do the other house based on population. But at this point, the two sides were both too passionately invested in their own arguments for apportionment to consider the Connecticut Compromise. So they said, oh, very nice, old man, Roger Sherman, you've made the suggestion. And they went on to their arguments. The core argument was this. Was this going to be a national government or a federal government? Were the members of Congress going to represent states, or were they going to represent voters in the states in their function as citizens of a federal government? James Wilson, in particular, argued passionately that he was not a citizen of Pennsylvania. He was a resident of Pennsylvania. He was a citizen of the United States. This was very, very controversial. And things took a turn for the worst when one member of the convention, who was a notorious drunk, and when I say notorious drunk, I mean brawls, showing up to sessions drunk. He was also a brilliant lawyer. His name was Luther Martin. He was a delegate from Maryland, a small state. And Luther Martin got up and gave a three-hour harangue. And it was early in the morning, and he was already, as they say, three sheets to the wind, apparently. It was apparently the most unpleasant speech of the whole convention, because he was very angry, he was very incoherent, he was very soused. And then he said chilling words as they were getting ready to adjourn, which is, I haven't been able to finish. I'll grab the floor tomorrow when we resume. This speech enraged a lot of the big state delegates because he was accusing them of all sorts of bad will. And they began to think, well, maybe it wouldn't be so terrible if Virginia and Massachusetts and Pennsylvania, all representing three different regions of the country, if those three big states went their own way with a majority of the population in the 13 states and leave the other states to fend for themselves. Well, sensing that contempt, Gunning Bedford of Delaware, who was one of the least vocal and least known of all the delegates, he was a one-time Princeton classmate of James Madison, the scholarly, diminutive, frail little Virginian who was in many ways the intellectual father of what became the Constitution. Gunning Bedford of Delaware stood up, and then he electrified the session. Why? Because he said this. He said, he accused the big states of bad faith. He said, they insist they never will hurt or injure the lesser states. I do not, gentlemen, trust you. And when he said he didn't trust the big states, people were shocked. There were boos and murmurs. He said, where is your plighted faith? Will you crush the smaller states? If those threatened states form their own confederation, the fault will be yours. And all the nations of the earth will justify us. The large states dare not dissolve the confederation. If they do, the small ones will find some foreign ally of more honor and good faith to take them by the hand and do them justice. I say this not to threaten or intimidate. If we once leave this floor and solemnly renounce your new project, what will be the consequence? You will annihilate your federal government and ruin must stare you in the face. There were people who stood up, were walking to the doors. They were horrified. The convention was very close to breaking up. There was serious talk of people leaving the convention, going home, whole state delegations deserting. In fact, in New York, the state delegation was so upset with the way that things were going toward a strong federal government, a strong central government, that of the three delegates from New York, two of them went home. They walked out. They wanted none of this Constitution. The only one who stayed was named Alexander Hamilton, and he played an important role in the convention. At this point, there were factors that began to prevail to cool down the events. On June 28th, Dr. Franklin, the most respected member of the convention next to Washington, decided to speak. Now, most of the time when he spoke, his legs were unsteady. He was 81 years old. His voice was thin. He didn't deliver his own speeches. He handed a text to James Wilson, Caledonia James, and James Wilson read it out in his ringing Scots burr. But this time, on June 28th, Dr. Franklin thought it was so important that he apparently delivered the speech himself. James Madison later copied it down based on Franklin's own text. Here's what Dr. Franklin said. He said, "The small progress we have made and the melancholy proof of the imperfection of human understanding are shown by that progress. In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights," meaning God, of course, "to illuminate our understandings. In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for the divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And we have now forgotten that powerful friend." How did they remember that powerful friend? Coming up in the continuing story of the miracle of the Constitution.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden speaking at the White House to push his economic agenda.
We're at an inflection point in this country. One of those moments where the decisions we're about to make can change, literally change the trajectory of our nation for years and possibly decades to come.
Biden saying the heart of his economic agenda involves boosting the middle class. Biden saying the nation's wealthiest individuals and companies need to start paying their fair share of taxes. He did not specify, though, what these companies and corporations' fair share would be. Gas prices are jumping as the nation heads toward the weekend. Today's AAA survey showing the national average for regular is $3.19.1 a gallon. That's up 0.8 over Wednesday's average and is the highest price in more than a month. This is USA Radio News.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin? And as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You're listening to the music of William Billings, who was a composer in Boston at the time of the American Revolution. He wrote that church hymn, Chester, which was later adopted as the marching song of the Continental Army for the American Revolution. And Chester, of course, had frequent references to God and God's protection. The end of the first verse is New England's God forever reigns. And that was a message that Benjamin Franklin tried to deliver to the Constitutional Convention. That's the subject of this very special broadcast of the Medved Show, The Miracle of the Constitution. With the delegates at each other's throats, with the small states ready to walk out, unable to decide how Congress should be arranged and apportioned, Benjamin Franklin stood up and gave one of the most dramatic speeches of the convention. It was a speech pleading for prayer. And why would that be? Benjamin Franklin was not known to be a deeply pious man. He was very unconventional in his religious ideas. He had a lot of deistic religious ideas. But he understood that belief in God and belief in divine providence, which virtually all of the revolutionary figures of greatness seemed to share, that that belief helped put disputes like the disputes that they were undergoing at the convention into perspective. He concluded his remarks at the convention by saying, "I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this," said Benjamin Franklin. "And I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future ages. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing governments by human wisdom, and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of the city be requested to officiate in that service. Now, this was a remarkable moment, and there were many, many members of the convention who were nodding in agreement and feeling moved by what Dr. Franklin had said. Dr. Franklin, by the way, was so infirm at this time that he couldn't walk the few blocks from his home in Philadelphia to Independence Hall, the State House, where the convention was being held. He was carried in a sedan chair. And the sedan chair was not carried by slaves. Dr. Franklin was very, very anti-slavery. It was carried by prisoners. He had helped to start an experimental penal institution, a prison, whereby they rehabilitated the prisoners by having them work. And there were four of the prisoners who worked by carrying Dr. Franklin to the Constitutional Convention and around the city of Philadelphia on his sedan chair. Everyone respected him. Everyone loved him. No one wanted to approve his resolution. Why not? Because they weren't religious? No. Because they were broke. There was no money in the Constitutional Convention to go ahead and provide for paying ministers. There was also an objection that was raised by Alexander Hamilton. Hamilton said that if they suddenly started calling ministers in, people would know that they were close to breaking up, and the newspapers would get wind of it, and rumor would run rampant. And so there was a decision. It was actually suggested by Edmund Randolph. Rather than having prayers every day, he suggested that there be a special sermon that they would all attend, and George Washington led the way, on the 4th of July, which was coming up in just 6 days. They would celebrate the 4th of July, they would hear a sermon about God's will, and then, one hoped, they would come back and be able to work out this fundamental disagreement that threatened to split the big states from the small states and to shatter the Union. So how did it work out? Well, before they had a chance to hear that sermon, before they had a chance to celebrate the 4th of July, the 11th anniversary of independence, there was a crucial vote that looked like it was going to go wrong and lead once and for all to the breakup of attempts to form a new government under the Constitution. What happened? An inexplicable stroll saved the day. We'll tell you how that worked out and more with this special broadcast, The Miracle of the Constitution.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Chris Pratt plays an adoring dad and army veteran who must travel to the future to rescue his daughter and, not incidentally, save civilization from an invasion by hungry reptilian aliens in The Tomorrow War. Now playing in theaters and streaming on Amazon Prime.
I was trying to save my daughter. If I got to save the world to save her, then I'm going to do it.
This is the end. The human species will disappear from the face of the earth.
The complicated plot can give you whiplash as the time-traveling action moves back and forth over a period of some 30 years, but Chris Pratt, as always, creates a likable and sympathetic protagonist, and some of the combat scenes, along with truly terrifying alien invaders, provide above-average special effects. The 2-hour and 20-minute running time does begin to drag near the last segment of the movie. It's rated PG-13, though some of the blood and gore might have pushed it over toward R. 2.5 stars for The Tomorrow War, which delivers some satisfactions to today. Special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, The Miracle of the Constitution. And this broadcast is partially inspired by a wonderful book from literally more than 50 years ago. It's a book by an author named Catherine Drinker Bowen, who wrote a book called A Miracle in Philadelphia. And partially, the material here that I'm presenting is taken from her book, which is in turn taken from the notes of the Constitutional Convention, the copious notes that were written down by James Madison, who kept records of everything. And Catherine Drinker Bowen notes that Benjamin Franklin's beautiful speech, his intervention to beg for prayer, a plea, by the way, that was not heeded. Yes, they were going to go hear a sermon on the 4th of July, but they didn't have the money to pay for daily prayer. That Franklin's intervention succeeded in calling an assembly of doubting minds to a realization that Destiny herself sat as guest and witness in this room. He reminded the delegates that in the same room they had written and approved the Declaration of Independence that had started this country 11 years before. Now they were engaged in the very, very serious business of trying to structure a new government that would work better for this nation. And they saw the whole world looking upon them as an example and a possible inspiration for how people could govern themselves. The problem is that as they reassembled, they took up breaks every Sunday because most of the delegates were religious people. And they reassembled on Monday morning, July 2nd, right before the 4th of July. And they were finally going to vote on a proposal by the small states, led by Connecticut and New Jersey, that the Senate, the upper house, would grant two votes for every state. No state would have more votes based upon bigger population or greater wealth.
You're listening to a special Best of the Michael Medved Show. If you want to go into the archives and visit the radio shows from 2015, 2010, and even before, become a Medhead at michaelmedved.com. When you become a Medhead at michaelmedved.com, you get access to years and years of our previous shows, hundreds of Michael's commentaries, movie reviews, exclusive podcasts, and more. And it's also just a great way to support the show. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the Medhead banner, and subscribe today. Use the promo code SPRING40 for a special discount.
Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. Okay, how crucial are faith and freedom really to America? Ronald Reagan called faith and freedom the twin beacons that brighten the American sky. What did Reagan mean? Well, you can find out at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, which has just launched a new course on the legacy of Ronald Reagan. This is very important because the course is posted online at the Institute's website, faithandfreedom.com. The course is led by Reagan biographer and expert Dr. Paul Kangor, frequent guest on my show. And the course includes Professor Kangor's one-on-one interviews with the likes of Bill Bennett, Ed Meese, Peter Robinson, Michael Reagan, and more. It's a remarkable offer that you will truly not find anywhere else, and it's free. Yeah, it's actually free. While you're there at faithandfreedom.com, also check out the many articles and lectures on topics from freedom of conscience to critical race theory, from Madison and Lincoln to Churchill and Reagan. You can find all of this and much more on the website at the Institute for Faith and Freedom, faithandfreedom.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
This is the Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
And they were finally going to vote on a proposal by the small states, led by Connecticut and New Jersey, that the Senate, the upper house, would grant 2 votes for every state. No state would have more votes based upon bigger population or greater wealth. The big states, led by James Madison of Virginia and Edmund Randolph of Virginia and James Wilson of Pennsylvania, were confident that they had the vote with some of their cooperation that they received from some other small states to block this from going through. Basically, they were very confident, and they were ready to vote it down. If they voted it down, the small states, led by Delaware and New Jersey and delegates from Maryland, the small states were going to walk out, and it would have been an ugly situation. All of it came down to one man, a mysterious figure who, together with Roger Sherman of Connecticut and Benjamin Franklin of Pennsylvania, was one of the wise old men of the convention. At age 64, a lifelong bachelor named Daniel of St. Thomas Jennifer ended up deciding the fate of the United States. Now, who was this guy? We don't know that much about him. There are 2 big mysteries about him. One is, where did he get that aristocratic-sounding middle name of St. Thomas Jennifer? He was referred to as Daniel Jennifer, but really he signed his name on the Constitution as Daniel of St. Thomas Jennifer. He was a wealthy man. He owned an 800-acre plantation. Lifelong bachelor, he left the plantation to a distant relative. He left his famous library, he had a huge library, to his close friend James Madison. And in his will, he also arranged to free his remaining 22 slaves within 6 years of his death, which was 3 years after the Constitution was drafted. But here was the story. Because of his friendship with Madison, Daniel of St. Thomas Jennifer was a strong government a pro-big states guy. He wanted everything distributed, not one vote per state, but everything apportioned, and people becoming citizens of the United States, of a federal government, not just citizens of a state, and the states would come together in a federation. So he traditionally had always voted with the big states. The problem was he recognized that if he voted that way, there were two delegates from Maryland. There was Luther Martin, the drunk, who was going to vote against any big state federal plan that would concentrate power in the national government. That if Luther Martin voted his way and he voted his way, then Maryland's vote would be canceled. That's the way they did it. If there were only two delegates and there were only two Maryland delegates left, Daniel of St. Thomas, Jennifer, and Luther Martin, they would cancel each other out. And the mission, the move to actually apportion the Senate the way it ended up being apportioned, that would be defeated. So something extraordinary happened. And no one at the time could explain it. Daniel of St. Thomas Jennifer had been one of the most reliable, one of the most genial delegates. He was a very elegant guy. He loved fancy clothes and fine wines and basically was friendly with everybody. And he was also there for every important vote. But all of a sudden, this most important vote of the convention, where James Madison is pushing, now we're going to apportion the Senate the same way we do the House. All of a sudden, he got up before the vote and left the room. No one knows where he went. He went out into the street and didn't come back for a half hour until the vote was over. And because he was gone, Luther Martin cast the vote for Maryland. And the vote for Maryland was yes for this plan of apportioning the Senate so each state got its separate vote. People were angry. James Wilson and the other people were pushing for the other side. And Daniel of St. Martin Jennifer comes back in. He had basically taken a fall for the team. He understood that his point of view had to lose in this vote to keep the convention together. His inexplicable stroll and missing a crucial vote saved the convention. What happened was there was a tie vote. It was 5-5 of the states that had enough votes to be decided. And right after that tie vote, there was a move by General Charles Cosworth Pinckney of South Carolina to appoint a committee to resolve this, which basically meant they were going to go for the Connecticut Compromise. And everybody was swept up because of this tie with the move, okay, we have to placate the small states. And then they voted, they appointed the committee. The committee included Dr. Franklin. The committee included someone, Abraham Baldwin from Georgia, who was in favor of that compromise. And then they were going to move to the 4th of July. Because the 4th of July, they were all going to take time off. How did the 4th of July help to further save the convention? We will get to that aspect of the story, the miracle of the Constitution, coming right up.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Marvel Studios is back with a new comic book hero inserted into a post-Avengers Endgame world, trying to connect with his magical, mystical, long-lost father, a martial arts master played by Tony Leung, in Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, now playing in theaters everywhere.
The Ten Rings gave our family power. If you want them to be yours one day, you have to show me you are strong enough to carry them.
But this goofy and confusing plotline isn't nearly strong enough to carry this more than 2-hour running time. The special effects and flying dragons and balletic battle scenes are all elegant and occasionally impressive, but become tedious long before the film bangs and wheezes to its get ready for the sequel conclusion. It's rated PG-13 for plenty of comic book violence. 2 stars for Marvel Studios Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. It's 6 a.m. It's July 4th, a sultry summer day, as usual, in Philadelphia, and it's 1787. And at 6 a.m., the city's militia fires its first celebratory blast into the air, waking everyone up. And then the artillery came, using all available field pieces to deliver 3x13 rounds of booming cannon fire. That was meant as a triple huzzah to honor all 13 states of the Union. The celebrations in the town for the 4th of July were extraordinary and lavish, and people were happy because they knew that a constitutional convention was going on. They knew nothing about the fact that it had come within moments of breaking up. had come within one stroll of actually breaking apart. And all of a sudden, the delegates came together, led by George Washington, to the Reformed Calvinist Church to hear a sermon, as had been promised by Edmund Randolph at the convention. And the patriotic orator was James Campbell, who said, "Methinks I already see the stately fabric of a free and vigorous government rising out of the wisdom of the Federal Convention." And that night, there was heavy drinking, as there almost always was at that era in the American Republic. And in Philadelphia, they had toasts, one typical toast to the Federal Convention. "May the result of their meeting be as glorious as its members are illustrious." Across the river in New Jersey, they toasted the Grand Convention. "May they form a constitution for an eternal republic." The delegates came back after the 4th of July, and they had a huge demonstration of fireworks that night in Philadelphia. And they were determined to work everything out. They put into place the Connecticut Compromise. Yes, we would have a Senate where each state would have the same number of votes, giving great power, disproportionate power, to the small states. And yes, we'd have a House of Representatives where the big states would dominate. And part of what changed was the weather. The delegates came back and they voted final approval to the committee's solution to their most intractable dilemma. Catherine Drinker Bowen speculates that perhaps the delegates never would have reached agreement had not the heat broken. The weather changed. God cooperated, heard the prayers of Benjamin Franklin and others. There were fewer complaints about the heat and how difficult it was. And for the remaining weeks of the Constitutional Convention, they were determined to work everything out. But they still had a huge fight before them. The fight to win ratification of this new constitution. They had to take it back to the states and get the states to agree. How was that fight won? How was that achievement accomplished? That is part of the story. An amazing and ultimately inspiring story. The miracle of the Constitution. We'll continue that tale as a part of the tribute to the founding charter of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
That's all the time we have for today for part three of the Miracle of the Constitution program. Go to MedvedHistoryStore.com.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to HandgunConversion.com. That's HandgunConversion.com.